In February, I was installed as the moderator here at Northwood Presbyterian for Presbyterian Women. I'm Cindy Huffman, and I've been a member here at Northwood for a little over 10 years. A couple of months ago, Pastor Chris asked if I would be interested in leading another lesson in this study. So I looked at the calendar and noticed that today was Maundy Thursday, and that he would be busy this week, and so I volunteered to do today's lesson. And then I saw what it was, and I was very excited. So before I begin today, I wanted to give you a few announcements, a little bit of information. So we will be celebrating Gifts of Women's Sunday this year on April 18th. Our speaker for the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock services that day will be Paula Salter, who is also the vice moderator for the Presbytery of Tampa Bay. So we're excited to hear from her. I want to remind you that all women are invited to join our combined circle meeting on April 13th at 10 o'clock. You can contact me for a Zoom link into that group. We'd love to have you join us for that day and see what we're all about as we get into this study, too. Our circles meet through May and then are off for the summer. And next fall, we hope to be in person, so stay tuned for that information. So there's a service of communion this evening at 7 o'clock, celebrating Maundy Thursday. That is both an in-person and a live stream event. There is also a service tomorrow at noon for Good Friday. And Easter Sunday, we have our two services. The 9 o'clock service will be held outside on the south side of the building. Bring your chair and sit outside with everybody and celebrate Easter. 11 o'clock will be here in the sanctuary in person as well as live streamed. So over the past 8 months, we've been working through Lynn Miller's study entitled Into the Light. It's a study on lament. When this study was planned and written over 4 years ago, we had no idea we would be in the middle of a pandemic. We had no idea how perfect this study was going to be for us at this particular time. But God knew. Let's look at what lament is. Lament is an emotional statement of grief and sorrow. Lament is directed toward the one who is believed to have the capacity to change the situation or correct the injustice. Our laments are typically prayers directed to God. And through this study, we've looked at the heart of lament. We've looked at how to lament together, and as women in particular. Then we looked at lament in life and death, in creation, and in community. Today we look at how God laments. Would you pray the opening prayer with me on page 73? You have watched all the time unfold, loving God. You have seen us at our best and at our worst. And you are still our God. We are grateful that you keep reaching out for us. May our hearts also reach out to you and remember all you have done for us. Amen. So at the beginning of this lesson, our author asks some questions for us to consider. What causes God to lament? Is God lamenting humanity's faithlessness? If we worship a God who laments, do you find that comforting, unsettling, or of no importance? There's no right or wrong answer to those questions. It's really where is your thinking? What are you thinking about? So she asks us to consider making a list of all the things that God might, that might cause God to lament. So would your list include things like gun violence, racism, human trafficking, our lack of faith, our impatience? There are so many things that we could list if we were together. This lesson begins with a reading from the prophet Hosea. Listen as Hosea speaks God's words in Hosea 11, 1 through 9. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but God does not raise them up at all. Now note the change in God's tone and God's thinking here. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over to, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zebulun? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not exercise my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Excuse me. Did you see the vengeful, angry, violent God that we so often think of as the Old Testament God? No. Here God is like Israel's loving parent, teaching Ephraim to walk. Then as a parent, God watches as this child says, I can do it myself. God ends the reading here questioning, how can I give you up? Isn't that what we parents say as our children are growing up? Can't you just stay little for a little while longer? Can't you just stay here? Here in Hosea, we hear God lamenting over the child that was Israel. The child God called out specifically to be God's chosen one. Israel has turned away from God, and God is justified to give up on this people and turn them over to other nations. Israel hasn't kept their part of their covenant with God. But God is having a hard time letting go and not protecting them, because that's God's nature. God even feels the need to say in this lament, I am God and no mortal. Since our laments are most frequently prayers to God to bring about some change, our author asks, who comforts God, the lamenting parent? Lynn Miller points out that we humans have learned how to handle lamentable things. We say, keep a stiff upper lip, learn to deal with it. Don't let them see you cry. Don't be so thin-skinned. Don't wear your heart on your sleeve. You can't save everyone. But there are a few times in Scripture that God values keeping a stiff upper lip or tells us not to cry. God knows what it is to lament and to wish things were different. Miller points to Jesus, who was seen to lament and cry on occasion. The Luke passage in our lesson takes place immediately after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we remembered this past Sunday. As Jesus rode into the holy city, the people were heard shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The Pharisees, fearing what the Romans might do, asked Jesus to quiet the crowd. Jesus' response was that if the people had been quiet, the very rocks would have cried out. Think of that. If the people had been quiet, even the rocks would have had to shout. Of course, the people had to shout. Hear what Luke says right after that in Luke 19:41 through 44. As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your situation from God. Your visitation from God, I'm sorry. Jesus is crying for what is to come for those people in the city of Jerusalem. There's nothing that can be done. The path is already set. They had made their choice. Jesus knew what was going to come for him in a few days and for Israel within a few years. Listen to Matthew 23:37 through 39. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is Jesus speaking. The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And for you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Here, Jesus says he wants to gather the children of Israel as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but they're not willing. Wednesday nights, I lead a Bible study that we've been spending several months on the book of Matthew. We studied this passage a few weeks ago, and in my research for that class, I came upon a fact that I had never known. And I always knew mother hens gathered the chicks in. When there's danger, the mother just pulls them all in. What they have discovered is that in a fire, they have found the dead mother hen, lifted the mother hen's body, and the live chicks were still alive under her. That mother hen was willing to give her life to save her children. So if you can think that's where Jesus is coming from here, he would love to, as God, be pulling all these people in and saving them. But he says, they are not willing. They refused God's protection. We bring our laments to God, trusting that God will act because of who God is. But we also know that God's fix may not be immediate. Miller reminds us that practicing lament provides us with an avenue to hope in God and to dream of God's promised future. We can let the world know that the world will not change us. We will remain faithful to the God who is faithful to us. Our author points out that we voice our laments to God because God is the one with the power to change things. God's laments are different. God laments because we are the cause of God's lament. If lament is directed toward the one who is believed to have the capacity to change the situation, when God laments, to whom is the lament directed? Miller says, humans, not God, have the ability to change what is causing God to suffer or lament. God calls us humans then, not so much to lament, but to repent. So for more information on this lesson, I turned to YouTube. Pastor Chris had turned me on to that at some point, and you can find Lynn Miller on video on YouTube for each of these lessons. So I'm looking at her lesson on lament. There she shared a quote by Fred Buechner, a Presbyterian pastor and author. Buechner said, "To confess your sins to God is not to tell God anything that God doesn't already know. Until you confess them, however, they are the abyss between you and God. When you confess them, they become the Golden Gate Bridge." God laments, hoping we will repent and turn to God. We lament and ask God to act to change what troubles us. Knowing that God laments because of us, shouldn't we act by repenting and confessing our sin to a God who already knows our sin and loves us anyway? So here we are at the end of another Lenten season. It's different from last year. We can say that. Last year was like no other Holy Week. But still, we're not quite where we have been. Passion Sunday or Palm Sunday and Holy Week don't look like they used to look. How fitting that we have this lesson here at this season in our faith walk, and in this year of isolation and pandemic. This week reminds us that God sent Jesus, God's only Son, to be human, to live and suffer as we do, and yet Jesus remained without sin. God could have done things so differently to bring Israel and all humankind into submission to God. But that wasn't God's plan. Our lesson finishes with a familiar reading to us. Romans 8, 38, and 39. You can find that on page 78 in your study. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So think about that. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Miller reminds us that humans are a part of creation. That means that even we ourselves, our limitations, our failures, the things we do, the things we don't do, the ways we disappoint God, even we ourselves can't stand between us and God's love for us, which is in Christ Jesus. That is good news, and that is our hope. God laments, we confess, and we repent. Would you bow in silence and prayer with me for a moment? Would you share in the closing prayer with me on page 80? Forgive us, O God, when we cause you sorrow. Have mercy on us when we give you less than our best. Our hope is truly in you, in who you are, and in your love for us. We give you thanks that your love is stronger than our failings. Amen. I'd like to wish you a blessed Easter season and that the rest of this Holy Week be meaningful to you. Thank you.